Good morning. You're listening to the Beacon of Truth radio broadcast, a ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church located in Williamsport, Maryland. This is Darren Homentowski, production engineer, and I want to thank you for tuning in. This morning, our pastor, Don Harrelson, is preaching a message entitled, To Be Revived or To Not Be Revived, from Exodus chapter 32. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you.
It was 1857, New York City. There was a 46-year-old man by the name of Jeremiah Lamphere. He lived in New York, and he loved the Lord. But he didn't feel that there was much he could do for the Lord. And he began to have a desire for people to come to know the Lord, for people to come and get saved. But he just didn't think there was much that he could do. So when he accepted an invitation from his church to be an inner-city missionary in New York City. So in July of 1857, he started walking up and down the streets of New York, passing out tracts, talking to people about Jesus. But he wasn't having much success. Then God put it in his heart that he should pray. So he printed up some more tracts and went out and invited people to come to every Wednesday at noon on the third floor of the old Dutch Reformed Church, and we'll pray. Wednesday came around, the first Wednesday, and he started to pray at noon, and no one came. Second week, he did it again. No one came. The third week, he began at noon to pray, and about 30 minutes later, five other people walked in and prayed with him. The next week, 20 people came. The next week, between 30 and 40 people came. And they decided they would meet every day from 12 to 1 to pray. And before long, a few ministers started to come. And they said, we need this in our churches. And within 6 months, there was over 5,000 prayer groups meeting every day in New York City. And soon the word would spread, and there were prayer meetings in Philadelphia, Detroit, Washington, D.C. In fact, the president at that time, President Franklin Pierce, would go almost every day to a noonday prayer meeting. And by 1859, 15,000 cities in America were having downtown prayer meetings every day at noon. Thousands were brought to Christ. And the greatest thing about this revival, which is known as the prayer revival, there is not a famous preacher associated with it at all. This was revival. But what is revival? We hear the term. Our theme this year is Revive Thy Work, O Lord, and we're asking for revival. But what is it? Let me give you a few definitions. Revival is the visitation of God that brings to life Christians who have been sleeping. The visitation of God, the Christians who have been sleeping. Revival is a rush of the Spirit and a time of refreshing. Revival is when the dry and the thirsty receive a drenching from the Lord. Revival is when one believer gets right with God and allows the Spirit of God to fill his or her life without wavering. Revival is when each believer begins to realize their sin and turn to God. Those are some definitions of revival. And I believe that we do need revival in our lives today. We need a soul-searching, heart-wrenching, old-fashioned Holy Spirit-sent revival. That's what we need. But who needs it? Who needs it? We need it. We need revival. Our nation needs revival. Our country needs revival. Our city needs revival. Our church needs revival. Our family needs revival. And individuals need revival. The old song says, revive us again, fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. We always need to draw closer to the Lord on a daily basis. Yes, we need to be revived. But I'm too busy. How often have we heard that? I'm too busy. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to read the Word of God. I'm too busy to pray. But you're not. If you were not going to factor in travel times, because everyone's travel time's different, but if you came to every service that we have at this church on a weekly basis, you would get 9:30 to 10:30, 60 minutes. 10:30 to 11:30, 60 minutes. 5:30 to 6:30, 60 minutes. 7 to 8, 60 minutes. 240 minutes, and you don't have time for it. 4 hours, but you got that time to watch a Sunday football game. You got that time to watch a baseball game. You got that time to watch Netflix or to spend time on your computer, but not 240 minutes to spend with God and God's people. If you don't got that time, you need revival. I need revival. Now, those things that I mentioned in contrast aren't bad in and of themselves. I hope not, because I do all of them. But when they replace God, that's the problem. When they take up the time that you can be devoting to God, that's the problem. And revival meetings happen, or we call them special meetings, because they help focus us on God and challenge us to serve Him. And they challenge us, and you say, well, that's the problem, Pastor. They challenge us, and I got too many challenges in my life already. I don't need any more challenges. But are you challenged in the right area of your life? Do your challenges have eternal value? See, there are a lot of people who aren't doing the wrong things, and because they aren't doing the wrong things, they think they're okay. They think they're good people. But true revival is people not just staying away from the wrong things, but being bold enough and close enough to God and the Lord with the courage to do the right things. It's time to pray that the fires of revival might spread to each of us. Now, the scriptures say revival. We look at the word, revive thy work. Now, I'm going to guess, you've seen the verse, Habakkuk 2:4. It says, revive thy work, O Lord. Well, something like that. Revive thy work. And what are you thinking? What work is to be revived? You think, well, it has to mean the church because we're praying for people to come. We're praying for people to come to the Lord. We're praying for our church to grow. So it must be that's the work that we're praying for revival for. Part of it. You're right. But let me tell you something else based on Scripture. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you know. But it's verse 10 that I want to bring to your attention. Some of our people are already agreeing with me. They know where we're going. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship. The Greek word there is poema, where we get the English word poem. We are his work. So when we're praying for God to revive his work, we're not just talking about the church ministry, but we're talking about you, the people of God, for God to revive his work. Because when the people of God are revived, the church will be revived. When one man in 1856 decided to pray, and more people joined him, and more people joined him, and more people joined him, there was a revival in this land. Now, I don't know what happened to stop that revival. I don't know what happened to go. Because if you know history, what happened 2 years after 1859? Something called the Civil War. Now, it might have been a result of the revival. of people getting right with the Lord and saying, hey, this is wrong. We can't be practicing slavery. We can't be doing this anymore. These are people. We need to honor them. And the revival may have brought on the Civil War. But then again, it also might have been they stopped having revival, and then Civil War broke out. But don't we need it? Why are we having the Civil War without the revival? Why are we having the heartache without the revival? We need revival. We need our focus on God. Can I tell you something I read today about Israel? Why we need to stand with Israel. We stand with Israel because if we stand with Israel, we'll be blessed. Yes, but there's another practicality. I didn't think about this until this morning. If Israel is allowed to be canceled, cancel culture, right? If Israel is allowed to be wiped off and get off the earth, every single Bible story becomes a fable. Jesus becomes a mythical creature. Because right now, Israel's preserving all that. But if Israel's no more, they're trying to wipe off what we read about in our Bibles. Oh, that's just a myth. It's not there. No, it's still the same Jerusalem. It's the same Bethlehem. It's the same Nazareth. These are all still there. This is where Jesus cried. This is where Jesus walked. This is where Elijah was. This is where Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were. But if Israel is off the face of earth, it's all. Satan's got a victory there and no more. We need revival. We need revival. I want you to go back to our text in Exodus 32. Moses is away. Fellowshipping with the Lord, basking in his glow, getting the first tablets, the Ten Commandments. And the people are getting a little anxious. And they decide, we want something else. Now, there is an argument that they broke the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other God before me. No doubt about that. But then there's an argument that they broke the second commandment, where they said, thou shalt not have any graven images. Because after they make this golden calf, in verse 5, he says, tomorrow is a feast day to the Lord, to Jehovah. Are they calling the cow Jehovah? Either way, they broke. He didn't break one commandment, they broke two commandments. So Aaron built this calf. And Moses came down to the mountain to see the results of the sin of the people. Do you think Moses thought it was time for revival? Moses was having a great time with the Lord. They just came through 10 plagues. They just came through dry land. It used to be a sea. They just had the entire Egyptian army drown. They're on their way to the promised land. Verse 32, chapter 32, verse 26, then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. These people had sinned a great sin. They put a golden calf in the place of God. It's interesting in chapter 20, Exodus 20, verse 18, and the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mount and smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. They were in awe of God. They were in awe of God's power. Verse 23 of chapter 20. God says, you shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make you gods of gold. And that's exactly what they did when they lost their awe in God. They lost the wonder of it all. They lost the amazement of it all. They weren't in awe of God anymore. Are you in awe of God? Are you in awe of God? Are you in awe of God, of who He is? And are you in awe of God for what He's done? On Wednesday night, we're going through different types of prayers, and we talked about a prayer of praise, and we talk about a prayer of thanksgiving, and there's a difference between the two types of prayer. A prayer of praise is thanking God for who He is. Thanksgiving is thanking God for what He's done. Are you in awe of what God's done? Do you remember when you were saved and the glory and the allness that was there? Were you in awe of God? Does the church remember the awe of God? Does a community, are we as a community in awe of God? That's who needs revival. Those who are no longer in awe of God. We're in awe of other things. Shiny, glittering things we're in awe of. But God? Maybe not. Anymore. And we wonder why there's not revival in the country. We're in awe of things that don't matter. Electronic distractions. The other distractions in life. We're in awe of those things, but not God. He who created the universe and the galaxies by the breath, and that He wants to have a relationship with you. You don't even want to have a relationship with you sometimes. But God does. Not only does He love you, He likes you. You don't even like yourself sometimes. Are you in awe of God? So when do we know that there's a need for revival? I'm sure Moses didn't think there was a need for revival, but he soon was aware. How do I know that the church needs revival? How do I know that I need revival? I know I need revival when I become discontented with the way things are going. Because it shows that I've stopped looking to God. I'm not listening to Him anymore. If whatever you're going through and someone comes to you and says, well, the Bible says this, and you say, I don't want to know what the Bible says, you need revival. When you start looking to other gods and you push the true God aside, well, Pastor, we don't have other gods. There's no little emblems up here. There's no little temples in our little places with oranges or what have you. We don't have that. A god is anything, a false god, an idol is anything that takes the place of God. That could even be church. That could be your wife or your husband. That could be your children. What is your life centered around? That could be TV. That could be video games. That could be sports. That could be work. When you say, I don't have time for God. How about when I'm too busy doing my work or playing with my toys, I don't have time to get together with God. See, we make a lot of excuses for God. And we just think he goes with it because we said it. Or we heard someone say it about God. I've pastored long enough, I've heard the lies. Oh, I don't tithe, Pastor. I just give God the leftovers. He understands. I don't think so. Have you read the Bible? He says, give the first fruits. Oh, it's a little white lie. God understands. He says, thou shalt not bear false witness. What look? Where are you getting this from? Where are you picking this up from? We make excuses for sin. How about when we begin to make decisions or do things that hurt or hinder the spiritual life and relationship of other people? Oh, it won't matter. I don't think history will tell us how many excuses we have made as a society against children. We keep saying they're resilient. They may not be. That's just to excuse what we're doing. And the anxiety and the stresses that seem benign, oh, they don't, it doesn't matter to them, that causes them heartache and pain because of our own choices in life. And we're doing things that hinder their life, but maybe we're hindered doing things to hinder their spiritual life. The scripture says, fathers. Now, oftentimes in the Greek, when they made the plural fathers, it could also be translated parents, so mother and father. And he says, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't make them angry at you. Be wrathful or hinder them from going to heaven. How about when I've begun to disregard my relationship that I have with God? You know what? Scripture does warn us. Oh, it's okay. I'm going to go over here and do my own thing. God, I'll come back to you. And you'll be right where I left you. But there's some scriptures that he'll stop striving with you. He'll turn you over to a reprobate mind. He'll seal your conscience. We got to be wary of that. I need revival when I realize that my salvation no longer blesses me because my heart has gradually become hardened to the things of God. We need revival. When God lifts us out of the miry clay and the sin of our lives and places us on his arms again, on the rock, why do we need revival today? Because we had a need. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that's our salvation. But we still need to be revived. Well, how do we seek revival? And that's where we come to our text today, really. Moses asked the question. And it's a question that we need to ask ourselves today. And how do we seek revival? He said, who is on the Lord's side? There needs to be a time in your life. And maybe it needs to be a time every day of your life, every hour of your life, when you purposefully make a decision and a commitment to God. The scripture says, draw nigh unto him, and he will draw nigh unto you. God will never force you on himself. This is a decision that we need to make daily for the Lord. Will we take time today for the Lord? Who is on the Lord's side? Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. It's time to make a decision to be on God's side. It's time to make your allegiances known. He says in verse 29, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. The word consecrate, according to the dictionary, is to devote irrevocably to the worship of God. And just like the children of Israel had a starting point, we need to move out in obedience to the Lord. How do you have revival? You have a close relationship with God. How do you have a revival? You begin to obey him. It's time to allow God to live out his will and his promises within your life. It's time to allow God of the mountain to be the one and the only God of our lives. It's time to devote irrevocably to the worship of God. What are we waiting for? Here's the problem. This is what we're waiting for. We're too comfortable in our sin. That if we give it up, we don't know what life is going to be like. And that frightens us. We need to stop talking about it and start doing it. We need to stop playing church and be the church. We need to start having revival, looking for it, praying for it. There is an element where there are things we do to have a close relationship with God. And that's given. But if you look through scriptures and you find the times that God sent revival, and you look through church history and you find the times that there was revival, revival is rare. It's God's choice gift, and he decides to send it when he's ready to descend it. But it's not that we throw up our hands and, well, God's not going to give it today, so we give up. No, we seek it. We yearn for it. We desire it. We do what we can do. And God will supernaturally send the revival. But it all comes down to little things. Are we faithfully serving the Lord? Are we faithfully drawing close to him? Are we faithfully confessing our sin? Are we faithfully being filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we faithfully doing that which is right? But maybe we're just too busy. Can you imagine getting to heaven and God gives you that roll of reel, says this is your life, that we think that's going to happen. We don't know if it's going to happen. But then he says, this could have been your life, but you were too busy? Oh my, what a rebuke that would be. Are we wanting revival? Do we want our loved ones saved? Do we want them walking with the Lord? Do we want that for ourselves? Are we continually growing in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Revival is drawing near to God. Revival is continuing to choose God. Revival is consistently obey God. Do you really want revival? Start worshiping God and God alone and start obeying God.
You've been listening to a message that was preached at Lighthouse Baptist Church by our pastor, Don Harrelson, entitled, To Be Revived or To Not Be Revived. We invite you to attend our service this morning at 10:30. We are located at 15251 Falling Waters Road in Williamsport, Maryland. For more information about our church, please visit our website, lighthousewilliamsport.com, or you can call us at 240-347-2320. That's 240-347-2320. We would love to hear from you. Have a great rest of your week, and may God richly bless you.